Forest City Church. Anyone and everyone.
We are going to jump right into the Easter story, to the Easter message. Go ahead and turn to Luke 24. The scripture will be on the screen, but if you want to turn there yourself, you are welcome to. Luke 24, verse 1. We are entering the story where there were two women who followed Jesus and were with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, and they were going to the grave as they were able to just mourn his death. And so we are coming into the Easter story at that moment. Verse 1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again." And I think what strikes me the most about this specific story, this account of Easter, is from the perspective of these two women. They were following Jesus. They had spent time with him. They literally were in his presence. They walked the streets that he walked. They talked with the people he talked to. They heard his teaching in real time. They saw the miracles. Yet they were still surprised by the resurrection. They were surprised by the promise of Jesus, by what he had been teaching and preaching. It caught them off guard. The angel says it perfectly. Why do you look for the living among the dead? If you know Jesus and you've heard his teachings, why are you looking for what is old when the new has passed away? When the old has passed away, when there is something new offered to you. And this new way, this something new, it was Jesus. It was Jesus full of life. And it changed everything for them and for us. But at first, they did not recognize it. They were caught up in looking for something old, even in the presence of the new. And I just wonder for us what it is we are looking for today. I wonder where it is we are looking for something old, even in the presence of the new. I wonder if we are here this morning looking for tradition. Maybe we're here this morning to kind of check off a box of church on Easter. Are we looking for something old, even in the presence of the new? I wonder if we are looking for status or belonging. Are we looking for something old, even in the presence of the new? I wonder if maybe we don't know exactly what it is we're looking for, but if we're honest, there is an emptiness inside us. There is something inside us that has not been satisfied. There is a longing left. Are we looking for the old, even in the presence of the new? And I wonder for me and for all of us where we are looking for that something today. Are we looking for meeting or life in our family gatherings, in an exciting church service, in perfectly curated Easter baskets for your kids and Instagram-worthy Easter tables? Are we looking for something old, even in the presence of the new? Are we looking to our bank accounts, our contact lists, our status, our friend group? Are we looking for something old, even in the new? Because it's so interesting that although a dismal and disappointing and defeating place, the grave was the more familiar place for these women. They had been to a death before. They grieved a death before, but they had never seen a resurrection. They were coming to the grave because they had tradition around grief and death. They were coming to the grave to bring spices, to go through a set of rituals and rules and traditions that helped them move through death. They were so familiar with life at the grave that they were busying themselves with life at the grave, all while there was something new. I think as people who are familiar with the Easter story, we sometimes still look to the grave. We busy ourselves with what we know, with what's familiar, with what may be tradition, with what may be cultural for us, with what is duty, what our role is or should or is supposed to be. And even still, it leaves us disappointed, unsatisfied, and empty. But still, we show up at that grave, morning after morning after morning, looking for what we know more than what we need. And I just wonder for me, I wonder for all of us today, are we busy with life at the grave? Well, there is an invitation to new life. And as I think about this new life that we celebrate on Easter, this new promise, this truth that our whole tradition of faith is built on, I think about what it is we say and we know and we celebrate, but how it is we actually live. And I have to admit, I see a disconnect. And so if you'll let me, I think on Easter, we just need to start with talking about the truth this morning, with getting back to the basics of who Jesus is and with what new life is. And if you'll let me, I think we can walk together through being honest with ourselves and each other about what it is we've been doing and what it is that is there for us as we celebrate Easter this morning. Are you in with me? Can we do that together? All right. So what is this message of new life? What is this new life in Jesus that we are even celebrating today? Well, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And so if we look at what Paul is saying here, he's talking about the new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And really, the book of 2 Corinthians in the Bible, that was a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And that Corinthian church, they got two letters because they needed two times of coaching. Because as we see in our churches today, there is a lot going on when people get together, try to do life together and follow Jesus. There was messiness. There was division. There was questions about Paul's leadership and authority. There was all these things going on. And so this was his second time urging the Corinthian church, remember who Jesus is. Remember the way of Jesus. Because Paul had known from following Jesus that there was no way the church would experience him through any other entity. They can't depend on the perfect leader, and they can't depend on the perfect organizational church. They have to follow Jesus because of Jesus in themselves. And there was nothing else that stands in the way of their experience of Jesus. What Paul was trying to do is he was trying to move the church from the old way of the pre-Jesus resurrection. I want to say that right. Of pre-Jesus and his resurrection, the old way of experiencing God through laws and rituals. But because of Jesus and because of the new creation and the new way that he ushered in, there did not need to be that kind of regality to experiencing Jesus. There was another entity that they had to go through to get to Jesus. Paul was saying the experience of Jesus is in you and through you, through the power of the resurrection being realized in you. He was trying to urge the church from this old way to the new way. He wanted them to move from external conformity to internal transformation. And the underlying problem that he's addressing here is the inability of the church to do so. The inability of people who know Jesus and follow Jesus to step out of the old into something new. Leaving behind rules and tradition and law and centering Jesus in their hearts. And Paul was the most unexpected person to talk about the new way. Paul used to be a Pharisee. It was literally his job to guard the old way. Those rules, those norms, those traditions, those were power because they created access to God. And only certain people could have access to God based on what they did and how they performed as opposed to who they were or who Jesus was. And Paul, literally, in his previous life, was on his way to shut down the new way of Jesus when he had an experience of Jesus. He experienced who Jesus was. He experienced healing and freedom and acceptance in his own heart. And he became sort of this proclamation of the new way of Jesus. You see, the moving from the old to new only happens when we center Jesus in every aspect of our life and heart. If we know the Easter message is centered on new life in Jesus, then the resurrection, it changed everything. It offered the possibility of old to new. It offered a way of healing and freedom that can be accessed by everyone through the power of the resurrection. And when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that it is all about reconciliation. Reconciling us to himself, reconciling us to each other, and helping to bring reconciliation to broken areas around us. And when we look at who Jesus was and how he lived, that will tell us how to center him on our lives and our hearts. Because who was Jesus? What did he do? He ushered in the new creation. He came and he turned things upside down because we were no longer operating in an old system of old rules that left depravity and so much suffering and brokenness. We were now operating in a new creation where there was healing and freedom available to all. What did Jesus do? He extended tables. He extended tables and he put people together who didn't belong together in any other sector of society. He came in and he upset all societal norms. He elevated people who were oppressed. He gave voice to those in the margins. He went close to those who were deemed dirty or unhealthy or not part of the norm. He was the one who sought after the one who was unseen. He made people belong who shouldn't belong. He was greater than any sickness or death or issue or anxiety or depression or spirit. He was bigger and he was greater and he ushered in this path of healing and freedom. That's who Jesus is and that's what he does. And I can't help but think of some of the ways that we operate as followers of Jesus or as the church here in our Western American church traditions. I think if we're honest, we tend to platform the leader and elevate the church and its activities. And I think it's true that if we're in the space of, I think we think it's true, that if we're in the space of the smartest leader, the most successful leader, the coolest leader, the Instagram-worthy story, then our spirituality must have significance. This must be life. And I think we busy ourselves with church activities and we prioritize more the activity and the doing over the connection to our interior lives and the formation. And we have schedules that are complete with activities at church or with people from church. And we've curated these groups of people who are just like us and have the same preferences and beliefs as we do. And we feel really content and good in our perfectly curated life. And this must be life. This must be the something new. But I think if we're honest, I think especially if we got really real, which we should do in church, about the territory of this region, of this part of Illinois, I think what we have found as church people is that that kind of church experience often leaves us shallow and wide. That it has produced a people who know how to produce and to perform, but not how to be transformed. And I think the platformed leader mentality has failed us, and our churches have divided and wounded us, and we are just wandering around trying to figure out how to work through the disorientation, the disappointment, and the sense of loss. I think in a way, we are like those women at the grave. Morning after morning, busying ourselves with tradition and norms and duty, all while thinking, this is what it is. Looking for life, looking for the new in the wrong places. And you know, maybe this Easter story is not a new story for you. As I look out into the crowd today, I see many familiar faces who we get to journey together, and I know your stories, and I see new faces as well. And I just want to recognize and acknowledge the vulnerability it takes to come to church, to come to a new church, to come to church for the first time, or to come to church again after a long time. And I recognize there may be people here in the room today who haven't heard about this message of new life in Jesus. But I also recognize there are many of us who have been a part of that message for a long time. And we're still trying to figure out what it means to do things in a new way and to realize that new life in Him. And I wonder if today, if this Easter, there may be a new way to engage a story that we know so well, a way that centers on Jesus and a way that transforms us to be something new. You see, the way of Jesus can only be realized in our interior life, in our hearts. Nothing can take that place if we try to replace it with anything, with religiosity, with performance, with addiction, with coping mechanisms, with escape, with relationships, with image or performance, it won't work. Only Jesus can truly transform us. All we'll be doing otherwise is being busy at the grave. Without Jesus, it is just not enough to make us new. So my question today is, when is the last time you experienced something new? When is the last time you experienced this Jesus that we celebrate, who has given us new life? I've been thinking a lot this week about what it means to have new life, what it means to be fully alive. And I think a lot of it has to do with our own healing and freedom and permission for authenticity to be the way that God made us. We talked about this in our series on loving God with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength. And I wonder if experiencing Easter in a new way, experiencing the Easter story in a new way, has to do with going back to the basics and taking an honest look at ourselves, on our mind. Is it centered on the way of Jesus? On our heart, is it centered on the way of Jesus? On our strength, is it centered on the way of Jesus? On our body, is it centered in the way of Jesus? I believe that it takes an honest look for each of us into all the parts of ourself, not to bypass any part, undervalue any part, or leave one isolated, but to seek this idea of integration that takes all the parts of us, the limits and the humanity, but still centers it on Jesus and experiences new life through Him. Because there can be no substitute. And if we try to experience Jesus without all of the pieces centered on Him, we aren't experiencing the whole part. We aren't experiencing the whole story. And I think that's what keeps us from being truly alive. Our pastor, Steve Carter, created a space for our staff this week, and he spoke to this mentality that we can all get caught in of it is what it is, of settling for halfway, of just enough, or of it's just always going to be this way. And I wonder what of that we are bringing into the room today. I wonder if what it is mentality is in us. I will always live with this wound. I will always be misunderstood. I will always be disappointed. I will always have these unanswered questions. I'll never connect with Jesus or the church. I don't even know any Christians I respect. It is what it is. I wonder if it has more to do with us. I'll always be the failure. I'll always be the divorced one, the mom whose kids have all the issues, the addict, the depressed, the one who can't look a certain way or be a certain way, the one without the secure future, the partner who's never good enough. And so I've stopped investing or trying or fighting because it just is what it is. And this Jesus and this story, it just doesn't apply to me, and it hasn't worked, and it's left me disappointed and broken and empty, and I don't even really know who He is anymore. Or what it is we're saying that we're doing. It is what it is. And here is the thing. We can't have one foot in the grave and one foot in new life and be fully alive. It's either dead or alive. And so while I believe this experience of something new isn't just a light switch that we flip on or off, I think it is a process and a journey that we revisit throughout our lives. What I do know is that it is not that it is what it is the old, and the new is there's more than this. That when we look to Jesus, when we look at His life, when we look at what He was about, when we look at the power that He has given us through His resurrection and power through the Holy Spirit, how are we the ones resulting to it is what it is? Jesus was all about, there is more than this. You are not who they say you are. You are not left to what to your weakest areas. You are not identified by this sickness or disease or this issue. You are never too far. There is no circumstance. There is no disappointment. There is no action. There is no behavior that cancels out new life in Jesus. Celebrated this morning, church. This is what we celebrate on Easter. And we can't have one foot in the grave and one foot in life. We got to get on over to the new way together. We got to get on over to the new way together. And how do we do that? We've got to reconcile who we've made Jesus to be versus who he really is. And I know I'm getting preachy because that's what I'm doing right now. But I have to say that this all comes from a very authentic place. That this old way has been my story. That I grew up in a family that was very ascribed to the old way. And my parents were here this morning and we could talk about it. But we were part of a church tradition, a religious tradition that was all about doing the right things and performing the right way and checking all the boxes, and we did it. And we did it all and we were great at it. But you know what? Our life was not so great. On the other side of all of that, we were dealing with addiction and codependency and enmeshment and just trying to figure out, like, how do you raise kids and be married and do this thing while centered on Jesus? And there was no space for that. Figuring out childhood trauma, integrating our lives, there was no space for that in our church experience, in the old way that we were building everything off of. And even as a kid, I had an experience of Jesus. I believed him to be who he was, and I thought, there just has to be more than this. This isn't all there is. And then as I grew up and in my 20s, you know, became a part of a church in the beginning of my adult life, a church that was good and true. As we grew and grew and grew, it became more about performance and branding and excellence, and it got very narrow. And we wanted to invite all these people who were different from us to be a part of our journey because that looked good and that was cool. But what we did not do was make space for people's experiences and wounds and trauma and lead people through an integrated kind of formation. What we asked people to do was check the boxes, say the right things, show up to this event, make it happen, and do. And what happened is it was leaving people crushed. And the church should not be a place that crushes people. It should be a place that launches them into healing and freedom and authenticity to what Jesus has made them to be. And as I recognized what was happening, I knew that there was more than this, and it was to the point where I was going to have to say something about it, and I did, and there was not any more room for that either. And so I lost my job, and we lost our community, and we moved, and we ended up here. And we had to deal with... There was some time in between there. We had to deal with the ways that we had perpetuated the old way ourselves, that we had gotten wrapped up in that kind of significance and that kind of value and that kind of, and how we had assumed that value system to be ours. We had to deal with that as a family and as a couple, and I had to deal with that as a pastor. And I had to go and say sorry to the people that I had not made room for. Because my church was saying, if you don't build this way or act this way or preach this way, there's no room for you in this church, let alone value for you in the kingdom. And so it is not lost on me that this is maybe the first time that you are hearing an Easter teaching from a woman pastor, right? That's still kind of a big deal out here in the suburbs. But here's the thing. Like, I'm just me. I'm just Bria. I am just the girl from the Midwest who just has, for some reason, this message inside of her of there is more than this. Of we thought that it was in the old way, but it's really in the new way, and we don't quite have it all figured out of what that is. And maybe it's not that much different than the old way, but it's doing it a new way together. And so it's very unexpected that I'm here. I don't have, like, a book or a platform or a podcast, and no shade to those who do. Pastor Steve Carter, we love you. We love your voice. No shade. I love voices, and I love the ability to hear voices and stories. But that just hasn't been my story yet. It's, like, a roundabout way that I even ended up here from Michigan. But what I've been so grateful to do is to journey with this church and trying to live authentically in the new way, in centering Jesus, because it was my experience of Jesus that in each season of my life knocked on the door of my heart and said, this isn't it. There's more. There's a better way. There's a new way. And just like I say to my daughter, who's a preschooler, there's always the chance to start again. There's always the chance to start over. As long as we tell the truth and reconcile with each other, we can start over. Morning, afternoon, night, it is never too late to start over and to try again. And so this Easter, let's be clear on who Jesus was and is. Let's reconcile again what we've made him to be versus what he is. And let's step out of the old into something new and center Jesus in ourselves in a fresh way so that we can receive what is new. And I wonder if you would have the just opportunity. I think we do have an opportunity this morning, and I want to invite you into the opportunity to participate in this truth that we are unpacking together. That it would not just be songs that you sing or a teaching that you consume, but that we would each make space in ourselves to have an honest reflection of how the busyness at the grave, how the old way is happening in us, for all of us. And I think if we take this time and invest in that truth, I believe the Lord has something new for us today. So I just invite you, if you'll let me, to just find some space in yourself this morning. If you want to close your eyes, just have a minute to kind of gather your scattered thoughts. Would you make space with me this morning for something new? I'm going to walk us through a couple of questions together. The first word I want to focus on is release. What is that old way mentality for you? Where are you busy at the grave? Where are you looking for life where there is death? What is that old way in you? And then let's recognize together. Let's recognize. What have we tried to center instead of Jesus? When we look at our heart and our mind and our body and our strength, what have we put at the center instead of Jesus? Or maybe, what kind of Jesus have we put there? The one we've made him to be, or the one that he is and has been and will be? And then let's confess. What is inside of us that benefits from that old way? Is it status? Is it identity? Is it performance? So we don't have to really be who we are because we're afraid to let people know what's really there. How are we benefiting from that old? Does it elevate us? Does it elevate our skills and our strengths? What's that preference, that identity that is benefiting from the old way in us? And let's just let that come to the surface. We're all on even playing field here. And then let's name. Without that old way, what is the need you are left with? So if you're having a hard time naming that need, maybe look at what you're afraid of. Because oftentimes those old ways that we assume, they help us cope with our fears, but they don't fix our fears. They just sort of put a Band-Aid on them. What are you afraid of? What is that vulnerable part? What is that need that you are left with? If you take away the old, if you come on over to the new, what do you have to leave behind? And then let's receive. Let's make space for the new in our hearts. We don't have to let go of the old and just have like a gaping wound, we have the opportunity to fill it with the hope and the promise and the truth of Jesus, but we've got to make space for the new way. We've got to tell the truth so the new way can assume our hearts. How can you engage this Easter in a connected way that is centered on Jesus? You see, I think the problem is for so many of us that our experiences, our identities, and our past and our stories, they don't just die. They don't just disintegrate. They don't just disappear. They are part of who we are. They are a part of what we have experienced. And I think Jesus is asking us not to bypass all those things, but to integrate his way instead of the old. He's not asking us to erase our history, to erase our experiences. He's asking us to integrate his way into the story we are living and allow his way to take the proper central place. And I think for many of you, this is your second chance. You've done the old way. You've tried the former way. You've played the game. You've been on the track of whatever it is, of coping, of addiction, of performance, of relationships, of status, of success, of the church. But it has left you disappointed and disoriented and burnt out and skeptical, let alone formed. And I believe God is asking us not to erase our canvas of our life, but just because the canvas of our life isn't empty doesn't mean it can't be new. And that is the beauty of the cross. That is the beauty of the resurrection. That nothing that has been written in our histories, nothing that has been spoken over us, no identity that we've assumed, no lie that we've operated our whole life under, no experience is too big or too great or too distant for Jesus to come and find you, to take all of those pieces, to put them back together in a way you desperately need, and to bring wholeness to your mind, to your body, to your soul, to your strength, so that you as a full and healthy, realized, integrated person can come along with all your other people, and you can be a community of reconciliation and of healing. But where we've gotten mixed up as a church is we don't have any business bringing the good news to a place when it's not been realized in ourselves. That will always communicate a message that's empty and hard to trust and difficult for people to want to be a part of. So today, whether you're wanting an experience of Jesus for the first time, maybe you have never placed him at the center of yourself, maybe you're looking for an experience of Jesus for the first time, to know him in your heart, to have your whole life fall under him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today and this is your second chance. And maybe this Easter there's an opportunity for you to experience Jesus in a new way. A Jesus who is who he says he is and was what he says he was and always will be. And maybe you need to put away the Jesus that you've constructed or made up or the old way you've been living in and come forward in the new way. And so in a moment, I'm just going to ask whether you're in the first camp or the second camp, I'm just going to ask you to stand. I think there's something about marking a moment of participating in the journey. We are all on the same playing field here. We have so much space and grace for each other. But if that's you, if you are wanting to know Jesus for the first time, or if you want to know him in a new way, and that could be, you could have been in church all your life, and today you want to know him in a new way, and that's okay. And so I'm just asking you that as I read this next verse and declare something new over you, that you would stand. And if you see someone standing, just reach out a hand and pray for them. I'm going to pray over everybody. And then we are going to continue singing Alive in You and celebrating the reality of life and the new way that we have in Jesus. All right, so I'm going to read this verse. And if it's you, I just would encourage you to stand. Isaiah 43:18 through 21. Let us declare this over your people, Jesus. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I am doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people I have formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. Let me pray for us this morning. Jesus, we pray that you would do something new in the hearts of your people. We pray that you would give us the courage and the honesty and the eyes to let go of the old and step into something new. Jesus, as people are standing to receive who it is you are and what it is you have for them, we declare a new way over your people. We are so grateful for the way of Jesus, for the truth of Jesus, for the Easter story. And in your name, we bind up anything that keeps people from you. Any coping mechanism, any old way, any place that's not centered on you, we pray that you would integrate the mind, heart, body, soul of your people, that you would take your rightful place at the center, and from that place would pour out healing oil over people, over the brokenness, over the lies, over the wounds, over the disappointment, over the mentality of it is what it is, God, that you would pour out your healing oil in this place. And that as we look around, there would be jars of clay waiting to be formed into the goodness of who you are and what you have for your church. We pray that we would find you, that you'd be realized in us, that we would get our feet out of the old and into something new, and we would go forth declaring your praise for ourselves and for this world. And that we would realize the truth of if you are true and we believe that you are, then there is more than this. In Jesus' name, heal your people. Speak to your people, Holy Spirit. Say what you only know to say. We love you so much, and we pray for your glory and your goodness.